Well, have you ever been in a situation where you needed some help? Maybe something you couldn't resolve on your own. Maybe it was with a project where you were way in over your head. I often have to call in some help on projects like that. Or maybe you were moving and you needed some help packing the truck. Or maybe you were in jail and you literally needed somebody to bail you out. We can be kind of a proud people. And often as Americans, we don't like to ask for help because we can do things on our own, right? I mean, we've got this. Reminds me of a time when I was in college. I was living in a house on campus, and one Friday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, there was this loud, like, bang, 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 bang on my door. And when I opened it up, one of my friends was standing there, and he was looking a little disheveled. He smoked a lot, so he had this kind of deep, gravelly voice, and he said, "I drove my car into a ditch. I need some help getting it out." Like, I was a little slow to respond. And I was just groggy. It was the middle of the night. Before I could say anything, he knocked on the three other bedroom doors in the house and he said the same thing. And apparently, he'd driven his car into a ditch not far from campus. And he walked to our house on the other side of campus to wake all of us up to ask for help. So we hopped in a couple cars and he led us over to the road and he told us where to pull over. And when we got out of the car, we saw that his car wasn't in a ditch. His car was upside down, about 40 feet down this steep embankment. He was lucky to be alive. And we looked at him and we said, "Man, this isn't a ditch. This is a ravine." And we just stood there looking down with our mouths open for a minute. Finally, somebody said, "How'd you even get back up here?" And so he walked over to this spot on the side and he said something like, "I think I climbed up right here." And then he just stepped straight off the side and slid straight back down to the bottom. So the rest of us found a way to kind of climb down the side of the embankment. And when we got down there, he said, "Hey guys, just help me flip it back over so I can drive it out." And we were like, "There's no way you can drive this out." And then he just got really insistent. He insisted again, "Just help me flip it over so I can drive it out of here." And we were like, "What are you talking about? No car can drive out of here." And then he looked at us and with all the seriousness in the world, he said this, "This car can." Right? It became one of those iconic repeating statements that some of us still say to each other to this day. "This car can. This car can." So we finally convinced him that we couldn't do it on our own. We needed help. The reality is all of us get to points in life when we need help. We can't do it on our own. It's outside of our pay grade. It's beyond our expertise, right? We get to points where we just don't know what to do next. I don't know about you, but for me, after the last 18 months, I kind of feel like a lot of us are there right now, kind of at our wits' end, feeling like we've just been bailing water out of what feels like a sinking boat for months and months and months. And now for some of it, it feels like the bucket that we're using to get the water out has sprung a leak as well as we face this new round of uncertainty in our culture and we just need help. And where in the past, maybe we've been able to look at things and say, "This car can," maybe say that about our life and just kind of power through. We're not actually sure that this car can anymore. So we've been tracking the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, the last couple of weeks here at the Village. And over the course of the story, he has five awakenings that lead him on this journey of coming back home. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about his first awakening. We called it the awakening to longing. And the reality is we've all got a longing to be loved. We've got a longing to find purpose for our lives. We've got a longing to find meaning when things in life don't seem to make any sense. And so Jesus tells this story of a man with two sons. And one of them got to the point in his life when he looked around and he simply said, "There's got to be more than this." And so in that moment, he demanded his inheritance from his father. He got together all he had, and he set out for a distant country searching for that more in life. And Jesus says in the story that he squandered his wealth in wild living. Because the reality is the son wanted all of the benefits of his father without a relationship with his father. But what he found is that when he had all the benefits of his father without a relationship with his father, his life went completely off the rails. Right? Some of us are well-versed with that. Some of us have experienced what it's like to take the whole thing off the rails. Some of us know what it's like to want all the benefits of a God and to want all the blessings that come from a God, but we prefer to manage it all by ourselves, on our own terms, without the relationship. Thank you very much. But what we often miss in that, what we often don't realize, is that the feeling that we get that says there's got to be more to life than this, is actually a God-given feeling. And it's only when we begin to have a relationship with God that we start to find what we've been looking for all along. Then last week, we talked about the second awakening. We called it the awakening to regret. So Jesus continues the story in Luke 15 about the son, and he says this, after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And then Jesus says the six words that sum up the awakening to regret. When he came to his senses, right? We've all had a when he came to his senses kind of moment in life. A moment when we realized that we'd taken a wrong turn in life. Maybe it was a moment when we realized we just simply missed the mark and we found ourselves facing disappointment or facing loss or facing heartache. And at every when he came to his senses kind of moment in life, it's like there's a fork in the road and we can return to one of two things. Unfortunately, in moments like that, a lot of us choose to return to the same patterns or the same behaviors or the same habits that we've been stuck in. And we just keep returning to the overspending. We just keep returning to the gambling. We return to the alcohol. We return to the affair. We return to the gossip. We return to the abusive behavior. We return to the pornography, and we get stuck in this ongoing cycle of looking for fulfillment without God. And we say things to ourselves like, you know, this time it's going to be different. And then we find ourselves facing the same regret that we've been facing for a long time. All of that leads to the third awakening that the son has in this story. So Jesus goes on in the story and he says this. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And so he got up and he went to his father." The third awakening that the son has is what could be called the awakening to help. So when the prodigal son, the son in the story, when he has his come to his senses moment, he decides to turn his life around. Last week, we talked about that the biblical word for this is repentance. And repentance is simply the realization that the direction we're headed is taking us far away from God and all the good that God wants for us. But repentance, it implies not just turning around, it also means going back to where you belong. And so after the son came to his senses, he got up and went to his father. He headed back toward home. And for us today, repentance means the same thing, right? It's the decision to return to the Father, to come home. And in this awakening, the awakening to help, we come to realize I can't do this on my own. I mean, most of us look at our lives and no matter what comes our way, we say what my friend in college said, "This car can." But the third awakening is a game changer because this is where we stop trying to fix things by ourselves. We stop trying to prove ourselves. We stop trying to find fulfillment in life by ourselves or in ourselves. The prayer of the third awakening is this: God, if you are real, make yourself real to me. Awaken in me the willingness to turn toward you for help. Does anybody know what the first step is in the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery programs? It says this: we admit that we are powerless over our addiction, that our lives have become unmanageable, right? That's another way of saying we can't do it on our own. If you talk to anybody who struggled with an addiction or who works with people who struggle with addiction, they'll most likely tell you that most of the battle is fought in this first step. Because if you want help, you've got to be willing to admit that you need help. Listen, I know that asking for help is one of the hardest things in the world to do, right? Admitting that we need help is one of the hardest things in the world to do. There are all kinds of reasons for that. Maybe we don't want help. We don't want to ask for help because we don't want to surrender control to somebody else. Maybe we don't want to ask for help because we don't want people to think of us as needy or weak or incapable. And I think when it comes to God, especially when it comes to God, we don't want to ask for help because of what many of us have been led to believe about who God is, right? We've been told that God is judgmental. We've been told that God is vindictive. We've been led to believe that God is just looking for any excuse to let us have it. And so asking God for help is the last thing that we'd want to do because we don't want to be shunned or we don't want to be rejected or we don't want to be judged by God. If you have the audacity to admit to God that you need help, if you have the courage to ask God for help, if you have the boldness to come back home to God after you've been away, after you've messed up, after you've come to your senses, the question is, what kind of God are you coming back to? Right? What kind of reception can you expect? What kind of God do you find if you decide to come back home? Well, here's how Jesus describes it. Here's what he says in Luke 15, 20. When he came to his senses, he said, again, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So just make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. And listen to what happens next. Here's what happens. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Why does his father see him while he's still a long way off? Because his father never stopped looking for him. His father never gave up on him. His father spent his time constantly scanning the horizon, waiting for the day his son would come back home. And what was the father filled with when he saw him? He was filled with compassion for him. Not anger, not judgment, not I told you so. He was filled with compassion for him. In the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, Moses, the prophet Moses, is giving his last words to the people of Israel, and he makes this promise to them. See if it sounds familiar. When you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. This is who God is when we ask for help, a God who meets you with compassion. Derek Redmond was a runner, and this image of a compassionate father watching for his son, it reminds me of his story. Derek Redmond was an Olympic athlete. His running career was plagued by injury. And so by the time of the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, he'd already had 5 surgeries, including one on his Achilles tendon less than 4 months before the games began. But in Barcelona, everything seemed to be coming together for Redmond at last, right? He was running well. He recorded the fastest time of the first round of all the Olympic athletes. He won his quarterfinal heat. And as the gun went off in the semifinal race, Derek got off to a clean start and he was running smoothly when about 150 meters into the race, his right hamstring tore. But he wanted to finish the race. And so he jumped up and he started hobbling forward and he was feeling searing pain. And it was at that moment that one of the most touching things that I've ever seen in sports happened. I want you to check this out. This is that race. Thank you. In that video, the man who ran to help him was Derek Redmond's father. Listen, I've got no idea who actually got the gold medal in the 92 400 meter race, but I will never forget that scene, a scene of a father scanning the horizon, seeing that his son needed help and having compassion on him and coming to his rescue, putting his arms around him and helping him finish the race that he was running. In their book, Finding Your Way Back to God, Dave and John Ferguson, they write this. They write this. Check this out. They say the novelist Charles Dickens called the parable of the lost son the greatest story ever told. Many others would agree with him. Why? They say, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the reason the lost son's story is such a wonderfully powerful parable is because it's your story. It's my story. It's everyone's story. We all find ourselves far from where we thought we would be. And the author, Jesus, is the preeminent authority on how to find your way. You need help finding God? Help has a name. It's Jesus. They say the most important step in our awakening to help is to meet the narrator of our story, not just to learn about our need for help or to know about God from the story, but to meet the storyteller. And here's the reason. Jesus' sole intent for telling this story was to help us find our way back to God. And the reason he knows so much about finding God is because he is God, not some remote God who is out there and doesn't really care about what's going on in our lives, but a God who is present and active, a relational God who is seeking you at the same time you are seeking him. Jesus is a God who is present, promising to never leave us on our own. Jesus is a God who is full of grace, refusing to condemn us even when it's deserved. Jesus is a God who's humble, bending down to care for our needs. Jesus is a God who is for us, sacrificing himself when we were helpless to save ourselves. Help has a name, and the name is Jesus. What kind of God is waiting for us when we come back to him? It's the God we see in Jesus. Listen, you can look at your life, no matter the condition that it's in, and you can be like my friend who said, this car can. Or you can admit that you need help. You can be honest about the fact that you're stuck or you're lost or you're alone. And when you do that, you can find that there's a God who is continually scanning the horizon, a God who's got a heart filled with compassion. He is ready to put his arms around you and help you take the steps you need to take to finish the race ahead. So we're going to have a time to pray today. And as we get ready to pray, maybe for you, maybe today is the day to come back home to God. Maybe now is the time to stop running. Maybe now is the time to admit that you need help. And it's the time to come back home. Right? Maybe today you feel like you've been in this far off country and you've been doing some expensive living. And maybe you feel like you've chased a lot of things and you've been looking for the love and purpose and meaning that you long for, but all you have left at the end of the day are regrets. Maybe you've been hesitant to return. Maybe pride or shame or fear has kept you from admitting that you can't do it on your own. And I want to say as clearly as I can today that you can always come back home to God, because there's a God who is scanning the horizon, waiting for you. There's a God who loves you so much that he took the shame and the humiliation of our sin on himself on the cross, and he is longing for us to return back home. So if you're ready to awaken to help, I want to give you a very tangible opportunity to do that today. Some of us have never made a commitment to Jesus, right? And maybe God is answering your prayer and maybe God is making himself real to you. And you just feel like you need to make that decision today to come back home. Or maybe you've never made a public commitment to Jesus through baptism. Throughout the Bible, if you read the stories in scripture, baptism is the way that people publicly acknowledge that they needed to repent and to come back home. And 2 weeks from today, we are going to have baptisms as a part of our in-person services. And so maybe today coming back home means making the decision that you're going to take this very important step in your relationship with Jesus. So I want to invite you right now. You can go to thevillagenashville.com/connect and you can fill out that connect form and you can click on I want to be baptized, and we will get in touch with you this week to talk about the details of that. That might be the step that you need to take to come back home to God. right? For others of us, you know, maybe we've already made a commitment to Jesus, but we have wandered far away, right? And maybe we just found ourselves in this endless cycle of longing and regret and longing and regret, and we want out. And maybe today you're ready to admit that you can't do it on your own, that you need help, and you need to surrender to the one who wants more for your life than you could ever imagine. And you need to know that surrender is not giving up nearly as much as it's giving to. And the one we're giving to is Jesus. When you surrender to him, you're giving him your will and your heart, and you're asking him to make you new again. You're asking him for leadership and direction in your life. We're asking Jesus to save us from us. And so today we're going to ask you to step out in courage and to say, I need help. I'm ready to return to the Father. I am ready to come back home.